it was in the 80s or 90s somewhere, had come through from the Leduc country, 60-mile country, and they had came up this 40-mile and over in there, and they thought that they were on American Creek. You see, the American Creek had been sniped at too, and just out of Eagle Airways. And they thought they was on American Creek, and they have that little Barney Creek that I was telling you about that's up to 70 mile. They worked on that in 1872. Hmm. Yeah. And you know, I didn't have a lick of brains. Art Frolic told me who it was and everything, but I didn't know an old George Matlock. Yeah, he used to be up there. I could have had a world of information, but I just didn't have brains enough. And old Bert Bryant that was there, and I was with him an awful lot. But there's been a lot of sniping along on the 70 miles. There's gold all along the thing. That is, maybe some of you remember Harry Alders that used to be here in Fairbanks years ago. Yeah, well, he done quite a lot of prospecting, but most of his prospecting was on this, well, from the Granite Fork up the river. And but he never did find anything to mount anything way up the river.
Where was that very rich coat they found along some bluff there? Some fellow was a telluride ore.
Oh, that's up the Yukon, that's above Circle, about 26 miles.
28 miles, rather.
Yeah.
That's in a bluff, isn't it? I heard about it, I never saw the place.
That's what Marion Edmondson was promoting one time, remember? Years ago.
They remember the circumstances of it, but I don't remember what happened to it or whatever.
They never did find anything.
Followed by the name of Hughes, who was there too, spent many years there.
Well, Mr. Hansen, there's a young lady sitting over there that I understand you married at one time or another. We'd like to hear something about your courtship and where you were married and who married you.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. Now, we'd been to parties together there in Eagle, and but never going to them together. But we'd always be at the same parties, it seemed like, and I liked to sing, and she liked it. She was a beautiful singer. In fact, she was one of, when she was in Chicago, she sang for, was it Moody? Yeah. She was... And, but she was a good singer. But we used to sing, and Mrs. Harridan, the NC manager's wife that used to be there, she had the arthritis pretty bad, but she could get a tune out of the piano, and we'd sing, and we'd kind of grin at one another, I guess. But, I didn't think she'd ever have anything to do with me, because, you know, I can murder the King's English worse than anybody ever saw. I know it, too. And, my gosh, one day I got up courage. Yeah, she did. Said, okay. And we were married right here in Fairbanks on Cowell Street, the corner of 6th and Cowell. You remember that little log cabin that used to be there at Greenwood, corner of 6th and Cowell's? They took it away this last fall. Hauled it away. Well, we were married in there. Dick Hawley at the time, the pilot, you remember?
Yeah.
Old Dick Hawley was there, and he was the best. Him and his wife were the best man and woman. And they were the only ones that was there. And Bill Groudon, he officiated.
Jim Groudon. He was a commissioner anyway.
Yeah, he was commissioner at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was he married us.
Name us the early day pilots that first arrived in Eagle. Was Jerry Jones one of them?
Yeah, Jerry Jones was an early day pilot. And Bennett.
Bennett was the first one.
Yeah, Bennett was the first one.
I had a ride with Dennis. One day when he came to Eagle, that was just a short time after he started flying in there. And the other school teacher and I were together, and he says, "How do the girls like a ride?" "Oh, sure, we wanted a ride." And it was one of these open cockpit, what do they call them?
Biplane?
Was it a Waco? Anyhow, we got in, and he started the plane up and started up towards the village. And then he just turned around pretty suddenly, came back. Well, I noticed right away that there was something wrong. The motor was not performing properly. It was missing. And I didn't like that either. But the other girl, she didn't get no idea what was wrong. So, of course, he landed. He just took us up that wind back again and landed, as far as I remember. And she says, "Well, that wasn't much of a ride," or something to that effect. Well, he said, "I didn't want to go any farther the way that motor was acting up." Oh, she didn't know that. But we got to know Bennett pretty well. And then, of course, well, the first time, that was that fall of 25 when he was supposed to come in and bring in Marshall and his wife. What was his name?
Dudney.
Oh, Dudney. Yeah, Dudney. We waited. They marked a landing strip on the ice on the river, and a bunch of us from the village and myself, we waited down there and watched this landing field, you know, and listened to that airplane. Well, the airplane never did come. He had landed on a bar down near Sheep Creek, wasn't it?
Yeah, three miles above Sheep Creek.
Did you bring him up then, or what?
No, him and Dudney had walked him. However, they'd send a team out of Circle and one out of Eagle to search for them.
Oh, yeah.
The team out of Circle followed us with the mail team all the way to Sheep Creek.
Tell me, is there any truth in that story where he tied that, you know, when he wrecked that plane, and he used willows to mend it and baling wire and put bear grease in when he lost the...
Well, I remember they had the radiator, you know, that water-cooled motor, and they had the radiator there at Sheep Creek, and they were whittling out wooden plugs and, you know, filling up the holes and soldering them. I did see that part of it.
Yeah, you know.
I saw it when it came back to Fairbanks. It's just like a wounded ptarmigan, you know. He'd just go down this way, then he'd come up, and then he'd go down this way. Just made it over the top of the hill, coming to Fairbanks.
Well, I'll tell you.
Straight to the top of the trees.
I'll tell you about something. When Dick Bauer and I were down at Nation, there was a fella flew in there with a little old biplane, Swallow. And, he landed over on the other side of the river. Jim Taylor, a trapper, lived over there. He had a nice place, too. And we were on the south shore of the Yukon. And he kind of dinged up his airplane when he landed. There's a whole mess of little... There the wind blows awful bad, and it left a lot of little streaks on the ice. Well, to look at them, it don't look like they're very high, but they're just as hard as concrete. And they kind of shook up his little airplane pretty bad. And some of those struts, you know, that used to go between the wings to hold them together, well, they popped. It was pretty cold, too. Snapped. Well, he come over. Dick, he had a horse over there, and we had lots of baling wire and stuff. And he come over, Sam did. That was Sam White here. He come over and borrowed some baling wire. And snares, he had lake snares, a wolf snare, he caught some, and he went over there and he tied that old airplane up and put twisters in it and stuff, you know, and got it pretty well tightened up again, and took off, and went up to Eagle. That is, so he's down there several days. And when he landed there in Eagle, of course, Bob Steele come out there to see, and Sam asked Bob if he wanted to go for a ride. Oh, yeah, sure. So Sammy, Bobby was looking around over the airplane, and what's that Bell Warren, Bobby. And Sam says, yeah. Oh, no, he didn't want to go for no ride. He didn't either. I wasn't there, but they told me about it.
We got a swallow?
Swallow.
I thought Chester Brown had the only one over in Malta.
No, there was quite a lot of swallows in the Arrow.
Yep.
They were in there early, too, though. No cars.
Can you name us some early day folks around?
Eagle?
Mayor?
Yeah, there's Eugene Mars was one of the early day commissioners there, and he went down on the Sophia when she went down in 1918, I believe it was.
Fall of 19.
Yes, fall of 1918. He went down with her, and then after him, I'm not sure who the commissioner was.
Forrest,
can you
bring in a few
old-timers'
names?
Forrest, can you give me the names of your children so we'll have them on record here, so they'll know them?
Well, I've got a son, Forrest Jr. I don't think much of him. Then I got a daughter, Florence. She's married now and has two children. Lives down the highway here. Her present name's Florence Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Lovely girl, too.
What's the name of some of the chiefs we got out there?
What?
The Indian chiefs. Some of their
names.
The first one I recall was Esau Ben.
Yeah, Esau.
Esau Ben and Water Ben was Chief Lahal. Also, Lay Reader there.
They're elective, aren't they?
Yeah, they have been elected for a long time. And then, of course, Andrew Silas was Chief for quite a while. And Charlie Stevens. Arthur Stevens. And from then on, they weren't so prominent, but those were some of the prominent chiefs that we had. Esau Ben was the first one that I knew. He was a fine old gentleman. Water Ben, they were related. Benjamin, I believe it was. And Andrew Silas, he was a fine man. And Charlie Stevens, he's still living. Andrew's passed away. Charlie Stevens is still living, and so is Arthur Stevens. They are brothers. And they were the sons of this big Steve, which was one of the finest natives I think I ever met. He was a real fine old gentleman. He passed away quite a few years ago. He was not, I don't know if he ever was chief of the village. But we had some good men, chief there.
Years ago, during Prohibition, they hadn't got to, I don't know, liquor was harder to get in those days or something, but you never saw any of them drunk, and they just didn't drink, but they worked there every winter. They were trapping hard, and there was nothing handed out to them, you know. They had to make a living, just the same as white men, and we didn't get any rocking chair money either. And we had to rustle, too. There was no sitting around waiting for it to come. But those natives were truthful, and they didn't steal. They were just fine folks. But in later years here now, since things is coming so easy for them, why, I don't know, they've sure changed. And so did a lot of white people, too. Thank you very much.
What was the Episcopal religion? Who went in there? That was the Episcopal Church. Mm-hmm. It's the only mission that's there at the time. For a while, they had the Presbyterians had a church there for a while, but the Presbyterians and the Episcopalians agreed to. They agreed that the Episcopalians should take that district over. And it's been Episcopal for a long time.
Are there no other ministers in there?
No, not at Eagle.
So what year is Jeff Douglas coming to Eagle?
27th.
Along about 27th.
I think so.
Horace, were you there when the army was there?
No. No, they'd already left.
That would be true of you folks, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The army was gone, but of course, when we first went in there, when I first went in there, most of the buildings were still standing. And the old wireless tower up on the hill was still standing until 1946. And Barney and my brother took it down for the iron, you know, for mining.
The ripples.
Fort Egbert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They had their.
It was abandoned. That is, the troops went out in 1909 and 10. That was when it was abandoned as an army post. But they kept the signal corps. They kept the station open until. Along in 35 or something.
33
was it? Yeah. And there was always one man stationed there that looked after the radio station. Of course, those days, you know, it was the dot and dash. And, yeah. But, they sold out the buildings to auction, you know, and different ones bid on them and got them there and tore them down. And a lot of it went to Fort Yukon. Johnny Olson bought up several, and he had all the fellas around town there tearing down buildings. Uh-huh. And he rafted it, but he lost an awful lot of it on the way down to Fort Yukon. And he built that building down there that I think the Lords or somebody have now. I'm not sure who owned it now. But he's the one that freighted all the stuff down there.
Horace, you got any Eagle highlights you can give us? Something that happened that's out of the ordinary?
Well, offhand, I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I've heard your, excuse me, but I've heard his dad tell about some hair raisers there on that there mail trip. Or getting out there with poles on the ice, you know, and skidding them along and trying to belly along with them and trying to get across weak ice and stuff. And
Yeah, I've been in on some of those deals, and you know, they're kind of long-winded to relate all that stuff.
Well, it's 10 o'clock, people.
Yeah.
Give us all the highlights. We will bring it to a close.
Well, my dad was like her dad.
January 1965, and the end of the talk by Mr. and Mrs. Barney Hanson and Horace Biederman of Eagle.